Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. 'Cause once you're dead, then that's a bit too late.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest, friend of ours, my congressman, Mark Pocan from the great state of Wisconsin. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here today.
Hey, Mark. Thanks, man.
Mark, have you been caught up and captivated by the Capitol Hill insurrection testimony going on the Senate side on the Judiciary Committee? Mark, want to get your comment on the testimony you've seen so far.
I haven't seen any of it because we are in the middle of a Democratic issues retreat and we've been on Zooms nonstop for the last 2 days. So sorry.
Well, let me tell you a couple of the things. Mark, first and foremost, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said effectively there's no evidence of the big lie. And I'm just wondering, do you think it's time to put some of that behind us? You might have missed it, but Ron Johnson, well, he's still selling the Whopper, sir. He's still reading the articles about the jovial insurrectionist today.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm waiting for the Hodag stuff. You know, I had one of my colleagues from Washington State saw that I said that, you know, pretty soon Johnson's going to blame Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, or a Hodag, and he had to ask me what a Hodag was, the Wisconsin reference. So clearly, you know, Ron Johnson's starting to look like a buffoon across the country now, not just in Wisconsin. But, you know, this is Ron these days, right? I mean, he's, you know, not just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. He's up there making it by the barrel full.
Well, and the former vice president put out his own op-ed piece today, Mark. I was sort of stunned and shocked that he would support these tales of voter irregularity and, you know, should have had a hearing on January 6th. And I'm thinking the reason people didn't have the proper time to object is because there was an insurrection. They were chanting, hang Mike Pence. Yeah. And Mike Pence today, supportive, sir, of effectively the sentiment behind hang Mike Pence.
Yeah. Hey, this is an interesting time. Think about it. You know, you're a Republican. You are more normal than not. And the rest of your party has gone full Marjorie Taylor Greene on you. And if you want to keep your job, you gotta Marjorie a little bit. And it's just not a great time to be a normal Republican. Now, fortunately, I think for Ron Johnson, he's not necessarily normal. So he's okay with swimming in this pool. But for a lot of them, you can see on their face, you know, the trouble even they have in trying to, you know, continue to swallow these conspiracy theories.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Congressman Mark Pocan joining us on the phone. Mark, the attack from the Republicans is pretty clear against H.R. 1. We had Mike Pence come out with his op-ed today. I'm getting emails from Leader McCarthy, the Republican in the House, talking about the perils of H.R. 1. And we have state houses all across the country putting in more voting restrictions, voter suppression acts to what? To countermand what they perceive as the problem of voting irregularities. And hell, Mark, you know, a lot of people just don't trust the elections. Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They know it. I know it. But this is really an attack against H.R. 1. Mark, the Republicans are saying this is unconstitutional. They're saying this is going to, you know, make it available for illegals to vote unconstitutionally. What's your response to H.R. 1 specifically addressing some of these concerns Republicans have?
Yeah, what they hate more than anything are a few aspects of it. One, that it makes it easier for everyone who has a right to vote to be able to vote, so they can't try to state by state, you know, put these laws out like they're trying to do in Wisconsin and make it harder to vote. And also, you know, this is a big ethics reform bill. The special interests in Washington hate it. You know, there's 1,500 pharmaceutical lobbyists in Washington, D.C. That's enough to have three for every member of the House and Senate. Now, I don't know who my three are, But the fact that that's a really screwed up fact about this town, and they are fighting hard on behalf of those special interests. So they're going to tell you, you know, a little misdirection. I've done some magic. I know what they're up to. And they don't want you to look at what the bill's really about. They want you to look at what they're trying to spin. And whenever they can throw in an illegal or someone with brown or black skin, they always feel like they're doing pretty well. It's pretty sad.
Well, Mark, we are down at this panel here for HR 1. We want to expand voting rights and make it more available for more people. And I understand the Republicans' concern that if they don't have the policies that people want, then people may not vote for them. But that should not dissuade them from encouraging everybody to engage in self-governance. But ultimately, it comes down to the votes, Mark. What do you think is going to happen with HR 1?
Well, because the Senate is somewhat like a foreign country, I'm not sure what they'll do. They have these goofy rules that require 60 votes and on some things and not on others. And they have a few members of the Senate who, you know, they kind of like the special interests more than their constituents. So it's difficult when you have a 50-50 Senate, because the special interests get in any one person's ear and, you know, you've got a difficult time. I'm hoping that they'll just ignore the filibuster rules to get this done, because it's our democracy is more important than their campaign accounts. But I don't know if I have enough faith in some of the senators. We're really going to have to watch it closely, and we're going to need people to, you know, in those states, Arizona, West Virginia, Colorado, Virginia, to really, you know, let their senators know that they want to have this necessary reform.
Mark Polkin, our fine guest for a few more minutes. Mark, the COVID-19 relief bill has passed the House of Representatives. And the version passed by you and your colleagues, sir, included a minimum wage hike, a federal minimum wage hike, to $15 an hour. Mark, we know the parliamentarian has stripped that from the larger reconciliation, the Senate COVID-19 bill. First and foremost, what do you think the passes a chance of passage of the larger bill, and what do you think we do about the fight for 15 that apparently will not be part of this relief bill, sir?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, it's really sad, because it's been since 2009 that Congress has acted. A bunch of people making $174,000 a year, some of them deciding that $15,000 is too much, you don't need a raise. And again, it's back in the weird rules of the Senate. You're letting an unelected parliamentarian make a decision on a same process they use to cut taxes for corporations and try to take away the Affordable Care Act health care from people. So, you know, I the Senate's just screwed up. There's a reason I don't want to go there, right? There's plenty of reasons that, you know, I'm just too normal maybe to be able to spend any time there. And, you know, we really got to reform that filibuster rule. And I think HR 1, there's a number of senators that aren't your normal folks who are saying this, saying, look, we got to get around this, you know, and not let the filibuster stop it. So, you know, I'm always hopeful, but it's going to take people in those states with those senators that have the very close relationships to the special interests to hear more from their constituents than their buddies in the pharmaceutical companies, for example, in order to try to make those changes. So I just hope that a lot of groups I know are on the ground doing a lot of good work in those states. And, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm going to hope for the best. But, you know, we're not going to give up if they decide to have those rules take place. We'll look at other ways to get things done.
Mark, I've heard some compromise proposals from the likes of Mitt Romney over on the Senate side. If there was a standalone piece of legislation that was a compromise to $11 an hour, brought Joe Manchin and Mitt Romney and a few other Republican senators along, Mark, could you find yourself supporting, sort of a split the difference bill?
Well, let's see what the compromise is. I mean, if it's saying in several years you'll get to $11 and you'll give people a stick of bubble gum along the way, I don't know if that's a great, you know, bill. And if it doesn't have indexing, since we've already proved ourselves inept at raising the wage, that it automatically increases, I mean, that's a really important part of the bill. I mean, there's a lot of ifs there, guys, and I just don't know if I can give you as easy an answer as I would really like to.
Well, I've heard that perhaps the fight for 15, this legislative standalone relief bill, might have to pass in some other must-pass bill. Mark, are there any other must-pass bills from the perspective of the Republicans left on the docket. Hell for the entire rest of the Congress, sir.
Yeah, one that's really bad, unfortunately, the National Defense Authorization, because this is our first time in 10 years the sequester is not in place, and you can cut Pentagon spending with also, you know, for the last 10 years, if you cut Pentagon spending, you also had to cut non-Pentagon spending, discretionary spending, like education and healthcare. This is the first time in 10 years we can do it. So, unfortunately, there are some other must-pass bills, but that's one where you might get Republican support for a bill, but you could lose some Democratic support if they put it there. So let's just say the fight is going to continue, but it's maybe not super easy.
Congressman, have you gotten your vaccination yet?
I have, and I hope everyone will, because my fear is that 55-60% of the people will get vaccines, and then it's going to be a tough haul to get another 10 or 15% that we need to get to herd immunity. And especially with the really encouraging information, also may not be able to pass it along very easily. We really need to get people getting vaccinated.
Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend, thank you, sir, for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates.
Oh, of course, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Here's a quick thought, Dom. The minimum wage, that really affects the red states.
Ooh.
Do we say F those people?
Hmm.
Come back with us. More Devils.
Please.